Well, once again, I want to welcome you this morning to the Bridge. And you may or may not know that we are in the throes of a series that I have entitled Defining Definitive Definitions. And let me just bring you up to speed with where we're at. The premise here is that we need to have biblical definitions for the words that are commonly used under the Christian umbrella. Because as we saw when we went through 2 Peter, not everything is as it appears. And if Jesus himself would warn us to watch out for the wolves in sheep's clothing, and if God's word would tell us that there would be those who would come up from within the ranks who would distort God's word and lead people astray. What I began to notice as I interact with people in our community is that we can say the same things and mean totally different meanings. I don't know if you've ever been there before, but you can speak, for example, with a Jehovah's Witness, and you can talk through, same thing with a Mormon, 99% of your conversation will go right through and everybody will be nodding their head up and down. But I assure you, at the content and at the meaning in the heart, you would walk away thinking that you agreed, and you would mean two totally, eternally separating things. So we began this process and said, let's take a look at those terms and those words that either get people tripped up or those that represent the real stumbling blocks to the faith. So we began 2 weeks ago with defining what is the gospel. Last week, we defined what is biblical belief. That, in my mind, is one of the greatest areas of confusion and deception. Oh, I believe, Pastor. And we saw that easy believism, a compartment in the head that would hold facts and knowledge, is not equal to holding in the heart of God's truth and his love. What we saw, basically, if I can summarize last week, is it doesn't matter if you believe. It's what and how you believe. To say, well, I believe and I know the facts, it's not enough. So this week, where do we go? Perhaps the granddaddy of them all. This week we look at what is Christianity. And I want to warn you up front, I've got a little bit of a curveball for you this morning. But we're going to take a look at what is Christianity. And basically, if we boil this down, I have a very short answer for you. Technically, the answer to the question, what is Christianity? What is real Christianity? Real Christianity is the real church. That's the answer. Real Christianity is the real church. Now, the curveball is simply this. We're going to take another week and we're going to define what is the church, because this goes deeper than what most people realize. But when you hear the word Christianity, if you think about it, what you have is Christian in a corporate or in a broader sense. Basically, if a Christian is a tree, Christianity is the forest. To understand the forest, you need to understand the tree. What is a Christian? What a Christian is, we've already covered in the last 2 weeks. It is to hold to the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ, who he is, what he has done, and what it means to be an adopted child of God through the gospel, which happens as a gift of grace through biblical belief. So we stand today looking at what is Christianity. And I tell you quickly at the very beginning, and you think, well, geez, Pastor, I guess it's time to go. You know me better than that. But I do want to do this. I want to say up front, the short answer, what is Christianity? Real Christianity is the real church. The real church has nothing to do with a structure. It is God's called out people, those who have embraced and accepted the gospel with a biblical belief in the heart. Now, then what are we going to do this morning, Pastor Jeff? I'll tell you what we're going to do. First, we're going to take a quick minute and a half to review what is the gospel, so that nobody leaves here confused with what it is that they need to hold to as the truth. We've explained how that belief happens in the heart. Then what we're going to do is we're going to take a look at the question of how do you describe Christianity? Because really, when people ask that question, when they ask, well, what is Christianity? You're not really hearing somebody who wants to know the technical definition. What you're hearing is somebody who wants to understand it. What, you know, give me a description. Don't give me the definition. Give me the description, because what I want is to understand it. I want to be able to embrace it. I want to be able to fully comprehend what it is to be this Christian. Tell me what it is to be a tree in that forest for Christ. And that's what we're going to do. But let me start off here by reminding you, what is the bedrock belief of every Christian? What is at the core of Christianity? The question is, what is the gospel? Let me show you again how Mark Dever has defined it. I think it's the finest, concise definition I've ever seen. And if you say, Pastor Jeff, this is 3 weeks in a row you've shown us this, I may show it 10 weeks in a row. Because until you can say what he says and know and understand it in your heart, then this is great repetition. And as we saw in 2 Peter, I know that you know, but now we're going to review and I'm going to stir you up for remembrance's purposes. So let's start here by reminding ourselves again, what is the gospel?
The gospel is the great news that we as Christians have. The gospel is the story that God is not going to leave this world in the mess that it's currently in. God is going to, as it says in one place, make all things new. Now, that's not necessarily good news to me unless I'm included in that. So how do I get included in that? Well, I have to come to understand who God is, that I have a creator. I have to come to understand what he's like, that he is holy and perfect, that he's loving and merciful, but that I have sinned against him. I've separated myself from him by my sin. And that in his love and mercy, God could have simply allowed me an earthly life with some pleasures and then let me fall forever under his judgment. But in his extraordinary, amazing, unparalleled love, the Son of God has come and taken on flesh. Jesus of Nazareth was fully God and fully man, and he lived the life that I should have lived in perfect fellowship with God. And he died a death that I deserve because I haven't lived a life in perfect fellowship with God. And then God raised him from the dead, vindicating all the claims that he had made about what his life and his death were about and were for. And he calls me now to repent, to turn from my sins, and to trust in him as my Savior, so that that which I deserve, I will not get, and that which he has deserved for me will be given to me. So I have faith in him, I trust him, and this is the good news, this is the gospel. This is how I can participate in that recreation that God will be about, that we read about at the end of the Bible, that's just so marvelous. And that's great news. And that's the very center of what an evangelical church should be about and what every Christian's life should be about.
Amen. That's at the core of what it is to be a Christian. The gospel is the seed that grows out Christianity. Now, let's take some time together, and I just want to encourage you, if you take notes, this is one of those days where I'm going to say to you, just sit back. Take this in, because you're not going to be able to keep up with me. We're going to go through a tremendous amount of scripture this morning, because as we hold Christianity out and take a look at it, it's going to be like a diamond that has so many countless facets that glimmer and shimmer. And we're going to take the next 40 minutes or so, and we're going to try to take a look at as many of those facets as we can. But rather than do it in personal opinion or some kind of pastoral pitch, I'm going to take you to God's Word. And I'm going to show you verse by verse by verse, one after another, the many facets of what it is to embrace Christianity. Let me show you what I mean, and we'll start this way. Christianity is the essence of truth. To be a Christian is to be in love with the truth. It's to understand the role of truth in our lives and in all creation. To follow Christ is to follow and love truth. Listen to what John 18:37 says. This is now Jesus' representation. And the answer to why did Jesus come? It's centered in truth. God's word says, John 18:37, Pilate said to him, Jesus, so you are a king? Jesus answered, you say correctly that I am a king. For this I have been born, and for this I have come into the world, to testify to the truth. Jesus even called himself the truth, as you'll see later. What is Christianity? Christianity is the church. As we said, it's the ecclesia. It's the body of Christ. Acts 20:28 says, "Be on guard for yourselves and for all the flock, among which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers, to shepherd the church of God, which he purchased with his own blood." Christianity is the church. It is the body of Christ, those that are called out. Now you say, "Pastor Jeff, we're starting off on a warm and fuzzy." Well, let me take you right to the quick. Christianity is offensive. And I want you to understand something up front. You cannot take the sweet and the sugar side of our faith. You need to understand that if you are going to be a Christian, if you are going to live in the midst of true Christianity, you are offensive. Christianity is offensive. Jesus speaking in John 8:24, "I said to you that you will die in your sins, for unless you believe that I am he, you will die in your sins." That's the truth. And let me tell you, if you reject Christ, or you think you can build a Mr. Potato Head Jesus, where you pick and choose the parts you like and you put a nose and a mouth on there that fits you, you walk away from the singular truth of the gospel, the Bible, you're going to die in your sins. That's a message that most of the world finds to be very offensive. Let me take you from the frying pan and put you right in the fire. What is Christianity? Christianity is slavery. Christianity is slavery. It's divine slavery. It's blessed slavery, but it is slavery. You see, for everyone who is a true Christian, for everyone who is a follower of Christ, a truly devoted disciple, you are what the Greek says is a doulos. You are a blessed slave. Hence, Christianity is slavery. You want to talk about offensive? Bring that message to the street. But I warn you, bring no other message, because that's the truth. We are blessed slaves to our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Acts 4:29, "Now, Lord, take note of their threats and grant that your slaves may speak your word with all confidence." Christianity is to live in Christ. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, "If anyone is in Christ, he is a new creature. The old things have passed away. Behold, new things have come." Christianity is to know what it is to live new in Christ. If your old self is prominent, if who you used to be still leads, and you just sprinkle a little of Jesus on you every once in a while and you think you're good to go, you're not. Christianity is new. You've been made new in Christ. Christianity is solely for the glory of God. If you think it's about making you feel good or getting you out of trouble or somehow cleaning you up a little bit, you've missed it. Christianity is for the glory of God alone. Isaiah 43:7, "Everyone who is called by my name, I have created for my glory." It's not about us. It's always about him. More offensiveness. I've told you before, I've heard it said that we are narrow-minded, pin-headed bigots. I love that term. Christianity is narrow. Christianity is represented by few. Christianity will be the minority. Accept it. Matthew 7:13 and 14, Jesus speaking now at the end of the Sermon on the Mount, "Enter through the narrow gate, for the gate is wide and the way is broad that leads to destruction. And there are many who will enter through the wide gate, for the gate is small and the way is narrow that leads to life, and there are few who find it." We are rescued. Christianity represents those who have been rescued, have been saved. Romans 10:9, the verse that's on the back of my business card. If you confess with your mouth Jesus as Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. You will be rescued. We are a rescued lot, saved from an eternal damnation, separated from Christ in a real hell. It's not popular, but it's true. Christianity is blessed. And it's a blessed paradox, as Jesus also taught in the Sermon on the Mount. In what we don't believe could be blessed, Jesus said it represents the blessing. Christianity represents the poor in spirit. You are blessed when you are the poor in spirit. You are blessed when you mourn. You're blessed when you are meek. You're blessed when you represent righteousness and mercy, when your heart is pure, and when you're a peacemaker. The word said, Jesus spoke, you are blessed, and Christianity will represent the persecuted. This is where I want to drag these prosperity pimps out of their pulpit and say, why don't you tell them about the persecution? Tell these people about what the life of following Christ may really look like. When you tell them that they're going to get all this stuff and that if they believe enough, they can get all these goodies. Why don't you walk that through Christ's teaching in the Sermon on the Mount? Why don't you try to juxtapose that to Paul's life, to Jesus' life? Listen to 2 Timothy 3:12. If you want to know why me, why the persecution, it's because you're a Christian. You should expect it and embrace this. Listen, this is a verse nobody likes to hear, seldom preached. Listen to this verse, 2 Timothy 3:12. Indeed, all who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will be persecuted. Christianity is to live in the midst of persecution, not shy away from it. Expect it. Understand this is a part of the plan. Christianity, more offense. It's a war. Christianity is to live in a war. Again, you don't get this on a lot of the cards and letters. It doesn't show up on the promotional flyers. But it's truth. We live in a spiritual war every day. Every minute of every day, there is a battle taking place for your soul or for the effectiveness of your ability to reach out for Christ. You are constantly either being attacked to be separated from Christ or to be minimized as a representative of Christ. Ephesians 6, if you read it from verse 10 to the end, we're told to put on the full armor of God because we're in for a battle. We're in for a war. And I want to just make a quick note if you're familiar with that passage. Oh yeah, full armor of God. Let me just point out it's not your armor. It's His armor. We put on His armor because we're fighting the fight for Him and He equips us. He's the one that's going to take care of us. When this happens, then we live in what the Bible calls the fruit of the Spirit. Christianity is to embrace love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness. Think about these things. Faithfulness. Gentleness and self-control. To be a Christian, to embrace Christianity, is to have this as the foundation and the fruit of our lives. Christianity is authentic. You say, what do you mean, Pastor Jeff? I mean, there are a lot of copies and there are a lot of fakes. True Christianity is genuine, and it is God's holiness, His gospel, and no other. We've seen this the last couple of weeks, Galatians 1, 6 through 9. God's word says, I am amazed that you are so quickly deserting Him who called you by the grace of Christ for a different gospel, which is really not any other gospel at all. Only there are some who are disturbing and tricking you and want to distort the gospel of Christ. But even if we or an angel from heaven should preach to you a gospel contrary to what we have preached to you, he is to be accursed. He's to be damned. As we have said before, so I say again now. If any man is preaching to you a gospel contrary to the gospel that you received, he is to be damned. You need to understand that the true Christianity is authentic. And anybody who adds to it or takes away, as Charlie said, Jesus plus or Jesus minus is wrong. And it will lead you to damnation. Listen True Christianity is love. Matthew 22, 33, 37 through 40. It undergirds the mission statement of our church, paraphrased this way. Love God, love people, serve the world. That we're to love the Lord God with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength, and then to love our neighbor as ourself. True Christianity is love. True Christianity is a family. One of the things that I feel that we are blessed with as the bridge is that we recognize what it is to be a family. Ephesians 1:5 says, in love, he predestined us to be adopted as his sons through Jesus Christ in accordance with his pleasure and his will. It is God's pleasure and will that makes us a family. True Christianity is forgiveness. Luke 17, 3 through 4 says, be on your guard. If your brother sins, rebuke him. And if he repents, forgive him. And if he sins against you 7 times a day and returns to you 7 times, forgive him. We forgive. Christianity is the essence of forgiveness. Christianity is faithful. Hebrews 11:6 says, and without faith it is impossible to please him, for he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who seek him. Christianity sacrifices. It's to live a life of sacrifice, whether we like it or not. Romans 12:1, therefore I urge you, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies a living and holy sacrifice, acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service of worship. Our whole lives are to be sacrificed. Let your body be a living sacrifice. If you don't like that, you don't really want Christ. If you're not willing to embrace a surrendered sacrifice of your life, not, well, I put a little bit of money in the plate, not, well, I serve 2 hours, I'm a good corporate citizen. Christianity is to live a surrendered life where your life is your sacrifice. It's perpetual worship. Same verse. It says that you're giving of yourself as your living sacrifice. That is your act of service and worship. Our lives are to represent worship. Think about that. I get letters sometimes and people leave the church because they tell me, do you realize that there was worshiping going on? Praise and worship went 50 minutes. I said, yeah, isn't it a bummer we can't go longer? Not the intent of the email. But our lives are to be instruments and dedicated to worship. Christianity is missional. It's an adventure. Christianity, I promise you, if you get all of it, it's an adventure. Acts 1:8 says that you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses locally, regionally, and to the outer stretches of the earth. If that's not an adventure, then you didn't get it right. Because I'll tell you what, this life of following and being dedicated to Christ, it is never boring. Somebody tells me they're bored with following Christ, they've got something wrong big time. Christianity is humble. 1 Peter 3:8 says, to sum up, all of you be harmonious, sympathetic, brotherly, kind-hearted, and humble in spirit. Christianity is humble. Christianity is radical. John 6, at the end of the chapter, verses 60 and 66, if you put them together, says, many of his disciples said, this is hard teaching. Who can take it? This is radical. This Jesus, what he's saying. This is not religious. This doesn't fit in well with my neighborhood. This is radical. This teaching of Jesus, it's radical. Who can stand it? So radical that verse 66 says, this is hard teaching. Who can take it? From this time on, many of his disciples turned back and no longer followed him. You can either hear the truth that will set you free and recognize that this call to Christianity is a radical call, or you can go find somebody that's going to play church with you and lower the bar of Christ and let you be very comfortable where you are, and you just fit into the world and say, well, see, now that's what I like. You don't have to be so crazy and over the top. What I wanted was a place where I could go and be a Christian and not have to be so radical. Watch out. There are a lot of places putting lipstick on pigs. If the faith you follow is not radical, if it is not personally transforming and radical to every part of who you are, if your taste buds haven't changed, if your priorities haven't changed, if your circles socially have not changed, there's a very real chance that you've got a placebo and not genuine Christianity. Christianity is complete. John 19:30 tells us from the cross, Jesus said, "It is finished. It is finished." There's nothing else that needs to happen. Eternity has been set. Now it's just a question of where are you going to walk on this side and the other side of eternity. Christianity is complete. There are no missing parts. The only thing that might be missing is you. Whether or not you have said yes and surrendered your life to Christ. Christianity is confident. Hebrews 10:35 and 39. Here's a personal passage for me. When we were going through our transition in life, I often had the Lord bring me back here. Hebrews 10:35 and then 39. "So do not throw away your confidence. It will be richly rewarded." Verse 39. "For we are not of those who shrink back and are destroyed, but of those who believe and are saved." You can have a confidence unlike any you've ever known when you stand on the Word of God in Christ. Along those same lines, Christianity is bold. I love this one personally. Proverbs 28:1. "The wicked flees though no one pursues." The wicked people are running because they're always afraid, even though there's nobody chasing them. "The wicked flees though no one pursues, but the righteous are as bold as a lion." But the righteous are as bold as a lion. Christianity is not made up of a bunch of wimps. It's not always trying to figure out how to be nice. Christianity is bold because you stand on the truth, and because heaven and hell are in the balance, and people's lives for all of eternity are going to be determined on whether or not they understand the truth. You don't show up on the front lines of battle like a little meek librarian. Christianity is as bold as a lion. Christianity is caring and compassionate at the same time. Colossians 3:12, "So, as those who have been chosen by God, holy and beloved, put on a heart of compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience." You need to look at John chapter 3 and take a look at the first half of that chapter to realize that Christianity must be born again. You cannot come with the old. Jesus told Nicodemus, "You must be born again." Verse 3 in that passage, Jesus answered and said to him, "Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." I was in a memorial service last night where somebody wanted to paint a beautiful picture of somebody's past and said, "I could see God in them even back then." Let me tell you, you may see something, but you don't see Jesus. You don't see the Lord inside somebody who has not yet been born again. Jesus said you must be born again to be his child, to be adopted. I like this one because it gets down to the straight skinny, pure street language. Christianity involves the dead and the alive, the lost and the found. You see, the process begins with the dead, and Jesus brings them to life. The process begins with going to find the lost, and then bringing them to be the found and growing. We see in the parable of the prodigal son, the last verse of that chapter, in that passage, it says, "We had to celebrate and be glad, because this brother of yours was dead, and now is alive. He was lost, but now he's found." Christianity involves the full spectrum. Those that have been saved go after the lost. We reach and love on and do our best to pour into the dead to bring them to Christ, that they would come alive. that the lost would be found. There's a contentment. There's a contentedness. If you find yourself longing for and wanting for and always reaching out for that next thing, you may not be in the midst of genuine Christianity, because genuine Christianity knows what it is to live with a sense of contentment. Philippians 4:11 says, "Not that I speak from want." Paul speaking here, he says, "For I have learned to be content in whatever circumstances I am." It's to know that God's grace is sufficient. That where I am in Christ, with Christ, is better than anywhere else without Him. And I need nothing else. Think about it. If you're always looking for and wanting the next thing, what kind of reflection of Christ and His joy and His love do you give people? Oh yeah, I'll be happy tomorrow once I get this. Oh, I just need a little bit more and then I'll find peace. Oh, once I get this taken care of, then I'll be good to go. Genuine Christianity says, I'm good to go right now. If I've got Christ living in me, and if that's my heart's desire and that's my focus, I'm good to go every day. I also want to talk about Christianity being zealous, because this is one of those lightning rod issues. Oh, why do you have to be such a zealot? I'll tell you why. Because Romans 12:1 says, never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervor serving the Lord. If you know what it is to have somebody call you out and say, listen, you're a little over the top, why do you always have to have this zeal? What's up with being a zealot all the time? You tell them Romans 12:1 says, I am to never be found without my zeal for the Lord. Genuine Christianity is a reflection of God's character. 1 John 4:7, beloved, let us love one another, for love is from God, and everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. We reflect the character of God. Genuine Christianity is light in a dark world. Matthew 5:16, again in the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus says, let your light shine before men in such a way that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven. Genuine Christianity is grace-based. Ephesians 2:8-9, for by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is a gift of God, not as a result of works, so that no one may boast. Same verses hold for faith. Christianity lives by faith. Grace is received through our faith. Christianity is hope. You ever see those that are downtrodden? You got that scowl. I saw somebody yesterday in Annapolis. Some person just cut in front of them, just a little bit. They're screaming off the top of their lungs, waving their middle finger at them. And I'm thinking, if this person only had a little hope, you wouldn't live with that kind of bitterness and anger and despair. Just a little bit of hope. We offer hope. Romans 15:13 says, now may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, so that you will abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. I want to tell you a little kind of a flip-flop here. Genuine Christianity is super exclusive. Say, Pastor Jeff, that doesn't sound loving. Christianity, real Christianity, is hyper-exclusive. Say, what do you mean? I mean John 14:6, where Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man comes to the Father except through me. That's exclusive. That eliminates all the wiggle room of all the world views around the planet. Genuine Christianity is exclusive. And if you hear somebody want to talk about, well, God is so loving, He won't leave anybody outside, that's a charlatan. That's a wolf. That's somebody who at best is deceived, because genuine Christianity is exclusive. Now, let me show you the other side. Genuine Christianity is the most inclusive of any world religion or worldview. John 3:16 says, for God so loved the world that He gave His Son, that whosoever... Now, you can't get any more inclusive than that. That whosoever believes in Him will not perish but have eternal life. This is the truth that must be carried forth. And we don't have license to negotiate any deals in between. We don't have the right to close the door. Ed Carson had a friend yesterday who said at the memorial service, in terms of this inclusiveness, you see, because at the bridge, we go and we talk to and we reach and we love on what many people in the church world would consider the untouchables, the unlovely. And I tell you that we go and we love like Jesus went and loved. One of Ed's friends said that when he asked Ed about this whole church thing and this radical change in his life, he said, what can you tell me about your church? Ed Carson, who when I met I thought was homeless, said, my church is a church for people like me. That's who we are. That's genuine Christianity. Genuine Christianity is powerful. 2 Corinthians 10:4, for the weapons of our warfare are not of the flesh, but our weapons are divinely powerful for the destruction of fortresses. If you hold to a weak Christianity, you've got a placebo. Real Christianity is about relationship. It's about relationship. John 14:3, if I go and prepare a place for you, says Jesus, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. I want to take a brief second, and I want to show you a clip to remind you. Some have seen it, some haven't. This relationship that we share, this ekklesia, this koinonia, this church in fellowship, this is great. This is as good as it gets on this side of eternity, when God's children are truly being God's children together. But this is just the tip of the iceberg. For our relationship is with Christ. For our relationship is with the one true God. I want to remind you, if that reality has somehow slipped into a place of religiosity, I want to remind you who you as a Christian are in relationship with and who it is that loves you. Watch this.
The Bible says my king is the king of the Jews. He's a king of Israel. He's a king of righteousness. He's a king of the ages. He's a king of heaven. He's a king of glory. He's the king of kings. And he's the Lord of lords. That's my king. I wonder, do you know him? My king is a sovereign king. No means of measure can define his limitless love. He's enduringly strong. He's entirely sincere. He's eternally steadfast. He's immortally graceful. He's imperially powerful. He's impartially merciful. Do you know him? He's the greatest phenomenon that has ever crossed the horizon of this world. He's God's son. He's a sinner's savior. He's the centerpiece of civilization. He's unparalleled. He's unprecedented. He is the loftiest idea in literature. He's the highest personality in philosophy. He's the fundamental doctrine of true theology. He's the only one qualified to be an all-sufficient savior. I wonder if you know him today. He supplies strength for the weak. He's available for the tempted and the tried. He sympathizes and he saves. He strengthens and sustains. He guards and he guides. He heals the sick. He cleanses the lepers. He forgives sinners. He discharges debtors. He delivers the captive. He defends the feeble. He blesses the young. He serves the unfortunate. He regards the aged. He rewards the diligent. And he beautifies the meek. I wonder if you know him. He's the key to knowledge. He's the wellspring of wisdom. He's the doorway of deliverance. He's the pathway of peace. He's the roadway of righteousness. He's the highway of holiness. He's the gateway of glory. Do you know him? Well, His life is matchless. His goodness is limitless. His mercy is everlasting. His love never changes. His word is enough. His grace is sufficient. His reign is righteous. And his yoke is easy. And his burden is light. I wish I could describe him to you. Yes, he's indescribable. He's incomprehensible. He's invincible. He's irresistible. You can't get him out of your mind. You can't get him off of your hand. You can't outlive him, and you can't live without him. Well, the Pharisees couldn't stand him, but they found out they couldn't stop him. Pilate couldn't find any fault in him. Herod couldn't kill him. Death couldn't handle him, and the grave couldn't hold him. Yeah! That's my King. That's my King.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. That's our King. When you hold to true Christianity, that is the relationship component. It's not about religion. It's about walking with the King. It's about representing the King. It's about being an ambassador for the King. Part of that involves being obedient. Genuine Christianity involves obedience. 1 John 2:5-6 says, whoever keeps his word, in him the love of God has truly been perfected. By this we know that we are in him. The one who says he abides in him ought himself to walk in the same manner Jesus walked. True Christianity is unique. 1 Chronicles 17:20, O Lord, there is none like you. Nor is there any God beside you. You may hear a lot of conversation about God and gods. Know this, every other one has no business capitalizing the G. We are the only one who stands with the one who is uniquely and truly God. Christianity is the only true way into and through eternity. Christianity is responsible. Say responsible for what, Pastor Jeff? What we know is the Great Commission. God's word says in Matthew 28:19-20, go therefore and make disciples. This is not a recommendation. This is not a suggestion. We are responsible to fulfill what is known as the Great Commission, to go and to therefore make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe and obey all that Jesus commanded. We're responsible for that. We're also going to be held accountable. Each and every one of us will stand before the Lord, and we will be held accountable for what we did with our lives, for what we did with what he gave us and who he called us to be. Listen to what God's word says in 1 Corinthians 3:12-15. If any man builds on this foundation using gold, silver, costly stones, wood, hay, or straw, his work will be shown for what it is, because the day will bring it to light. It will be revealed with fire, and the fire will test the quality of each man's work. I'm going to make it personal. If what you built survives, you will receive God's reward. If what you built is burned up, you will suffer loss. As a Christian, you will be saved, but only as one escaping from the flames. You will be held accountable for what you did. And don't think for a second that, well, so long as I said that I was a Christian, I'm good to go. God's word says you may come into heaven, but you'll have a smoking hiney. You're going to come in like you just escaped from the flames. Your pants are on fire. I want you to think about that. That's not the way you want to come in. We want to come in with a parade. We want to come in saying, thank you, Jesus. I'm worn out. I'm tired. I'm empty. I'm battered and bruised, but I'm ready to come home. Amen. Amen. True Christianity is prayerful. 1 Thessalonians 5:17. Listen to this powerful verse. It's a long one. The whole verse, 1 Thessalonians 5:17. Pray without ceasing. That's the whole verse. Pray without ceasing. True Christianity is prayerful. Consistent, constant prayer. Along the same lines, the verse right before it, true Christianity is joyful. You find yourself walking around in depression, if you find yourself minimized in your faith, if your light has been dimmed, if you've got a bushel over your light, as we used to sing as kids, knock it off. Get joyful. Make the choice to believe God. 1 Thessalonians 5:16. Rejoice always. Whole verse. Rejoice always. Say, well, Pastor Jeff, you don't understand. That's unbelief. Say, but Pastor Jeff, you know what? That's unbelief. We at all times are children of God. If you are a true Christian, we can have a joy even when happiness is hard to find. Okay? Kim and I know this place. When Gideon was born, had a stroke at 20 hours old, best we can tell. We were so wrapped up and so hurt and so worried. And about 24 hours in, God's peace came to us. And we realized either we believe or we don't. Either God's truth is his truth or it isn't. And standing over a little baby boy without any answers, with all kinds of reasons to worry, we had real concern, and yet God had given us his peace. We had a joy in looking at our son saying, this is a gift from God. His name is Gideon Armour Pearson, and God gave him to us, and the devil's not going to steal our joy. So if you think I don't understand because I'm somehow some preacher guy and things don't ever get rough, it's either God's truth or it isn't. True Christianity has a joy when the world says you ought not have a joy. True Christianity is filled with creationists. Let me just get down into some of the social lightning rod issues. True Christianity is filled with creationists, not evolutionists, because God's word opens up with, in the beginning God created. Either you believe or you don't believe. True Christianity is filled with creationists. True Christianity fears, has a reverence and a commitment to wisdom, because as the Proverbs tell us, fear marks the beginning of wisdom. We're to have a reverent fear of God. One of the problems in the church and in the world today is we've stopped fearing God. We've started to make God, again, this little Mr. Potato Head God, that he only comes out every once in a while when we need a little extra help. True Christianity has a healthy fear of God, a reverence for God. True Christianity is free. We know freedom. We have the cure where the world lives with band-aids. John 8, 32 and 36 say, Jesus said, if you hold to my teachings, you are really my disciples. Then you will know the truth and the truth will set you free. And if the Son sets you free, praise God, you are free indeed. If the Son sets you free, you are free indeed. Christianity is freedom. Christianity is unwavering. Philippians 4:13. I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. All things through Christ. Unwavering. Christianity is a calling. It's not something that you casually check out. Ephesians 4:1-2. I, the prisoner of the Lord, implore you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling with which you have been called, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, showing tolerance for one another in love, for the calling God has put on your life. If you are a Christian, if you're in the midst of Christianity, then there is a calling on your life. Christianity is all about unity, the ecclesia, the body of Christ. Ephesians 4:3, be diligent to preserve the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. If you know anybody who has set out to intentionally try to disrupt or to break apart or to somehow create friction and problems within the body of Christ, they are working for the enemy. I don't care how pretty, how nice, how they look. If they are disrupting and somehow taking away from the unity of the body of Christ, they are working for the enemy, per God's word. Christianity is all about community and fellowship. If you read Acts 2, 42 through 47, it's what many people would say, here's the best snapshot of what a New Testament church, a God-honoring, true Christian church should look like. Let me just give you verse 42. They were continually devoting themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. This is what a Christian family, not just with a bloodline, but with a cross-sent bloodline, looks like. Christianity is weak. When the world tells you to be strong, Christianity embraces our weakness. We surrender to victory. We come before the Lord weak, and then we live through his strength. 2 Corinthians 12:10, therefore I am well content with weaknesses, with insults, with distresses, with persecutions, with difficulties for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am strong. Christianity is blessed in its weakness. Christianity is about suffering. Again, if you think this is all about a high, easy road, you're wrong. Christianity will involve suffering. Philippians 1:29, for to you it has been granted for Christ's sake. Get a load of this. For you it has been granted. Hey, good news. Guess what? You get to have this for Christ's sake. This is for you. And everybody's, oh, this is great. It's like Christmas morning. Let's run down. What did I get? What do I get? Philippians 1:29, for to you it has been granted for Christ's sake. Not only to believe in him, but also to suffer for his sake. Again, that one doesn't make the flyers. It doesn't go out on a lot of the invitations. But that's what God's word says. This is what Jesus has invited us to. He says, yes, you'll be blessed to be. You suffer for my sake. You will be blessed. We're to embrace this. It's all about service and servitude, genuine Christianity. Mark 10:45. For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many. We want to be like Christ. It's to live a life of servitude, to give our life over for the many who need. It's to live surrendered. John 13:38, Jesus asked, will you lay down your life for me? I ask you, have you had that conversation with Jesus yet? Have you heard him say, will you lay down your life for me? If the answer is yes, welcome to Christianity. If the answer is no, I can't wait for you to change your mind. But it's a defining line. Christianity is priceless. Amen. 2 Timothy 1:14, guard through the Holy Spirit who dwells in us the treasure which has been entrusted to you. Christianity is priceless. Don't you forget it. And please don't you barter or trade down for some useless, empty, shallow piece of this world that's going to burn up and go away. Recognize that Christianity is priceless. I want you to also recognize that Christianity is foolishness. It's incomprehensible to those who are outside the faith. 1 Corinthians 2:14, but a natural man does not accept the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, and he cannot understand them because they are spiritually appraised. Christianity is foolishness and incomprehensible to those who do not know Jesus as Lord and Savior. So don't be surprised when lost people act like lost people. Don't be surprised when somebody looks at you like you have three heads when you talk about being a blessed slave who enjoys what it is to be a surrendered, weak servant of God. They say, what? And you're smiling? Oh, I'm so much more than smiling. It's foolishness and incomprehensible to the world. True Christianity is discipleship. as we saw in the Great Commission. Go therefore and make disciples. If you think that you can be a Christian and just sit on the sidelines, stay an infant or a babe, I really worry whether or not you've gotten it. Because true Christianity is the process of growing into and becoming a disciple of God. Two more. I want you to know as you go to the last chapter of the Bible, Revelation chapter 22, verse 12, I want you to know that you know that you know that Christianity is victorious. Christianity is victorious. The only question is where your timeline is going to go to. If you say, well, I don't know, this has been a pretty rough week. Well, you know what? If you've got a time horizon of 7 days, you may not know the victory. But if you'll take that timeline into eternity, I guarantee you on the Word of God, on the resurrection of Jesus the Christ, that Christianity, true Christianity, is victorious. Listen, behold, I am coming quickly. This is Jesus speaking at the end of the Bible, Revelation 22:12. Behold, I am coming quickly, and my reward is with me to render to every man according to what he has done. If you are truly a Christian, don't let the battle scars on this side of eternity throw you. Don't let the halftime report of what you think things may look like throw you. True Christianity is victorious. Victorious. We win because we stand with the King. I've given you an awful lot of scripture today. I know. But you need to understand who you are in Christ. And you need to see this diamond. It's not good enough to look at a diamond from way back. Diamonds are meant to look at up close. The brilliance and the fire as the light dances within a brilliant diamond. That's where its value is. You come to appreciate it as you see it come alive. So it is this morning, I pray, when you look at the gem of Christianity, to understand from all these different facets. You can't sum this up. You can't get an ocean of water into a 55-gallon jug. What you can do is realize Christianity because it is anchored in Christ. And it comes to us through faith in the reality of the gospel. It's beautiful. It's priceless. You can't get your hands around it all. What a blessing that is. I want to share with you as I close a definition that was given to me this week by one of my closest friends, a woman that has had perhaps one of the greatest impacts on this church of any human. Her name is Jean Guth. She's a powerful, powerful saint at Weems Creek, our parent church. And I sat with her for an hour and a half this week and I said, Jean, she could teach at any seminary. She's an absolute, she's just a giant of the faith in every way. And I said to her, Jean, I'm trying to get the ocean in that 55-gallon drum this morning, or this week. I said, I'd love to hear your input on the definition of Christianity. Now, I've looked at a lot of theologians, and like I said, to me, the best simple answer is Christianity is the church. Real Christianity is the real church. And she said, I've been thinking about this. I'm glad that you came. And she said, here's my definition for Christianity. And I want to leave it with you. And I want you to take this to heart because it's powerfully simple. It's impressively comprehensive. And yet it's very compact. And it's accurate. She says, Christianity is a relationship in which we have come alive spiritually so that we are living by God's grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone, according to Scripture alone, and for the glory of God alone. I pray that be it the long version of looking at many facets, or Gene's beautiful, concise snapshot. I pray that today you go home understanding Christianity. More importantly, I pray that you go home today embracing Christianity, that you will be Christianity, that you will be the Christian that God has called and created you to be. Would you pray with me? Lord, I thank you so much for days like today where things go a little differently, where you take us through more of an academic understanding and you walk us through verse by verse by verse, that we would see you, your character, that we would understand what it is to be a Christian, to be the church, to see that this is not some little checklist religious experience, that we can't go through three classes and walk an aisle and then rubber stamp the fact that we are Christians, that it is to be your children, to live out this relationship, to be your hands and your feet. Lord, I pray that if there are any here today who have not yet taken this walk of faith with you, if there are those who are still not quite sure, I pray today's the day. Today's the day. Will you say, people, get ready. People, get ready. I'm knocking at the door of your heart. You don't pay a price. You don't work a work. You don't earn anything. People, get ready. I'm knocking at the door of your heart by faith. Say yes and take my gift of grace. Come be a true biblical Christian and live out Christianity. I ask this prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.